Hello, everybody, and welcome. Today we have Sarah Howe, a returning guest. If you haven't seen our last conversation, please go back and watch it because it is so amazing and valuable. And today we're going to talk about fearlessness and fear, or fear and fearlessness, and the impact that those have on parenting. So if you go back to the last one, you'll hear that Sarah has an incredible story of transformation with her bio and adopted family, a blend of two and two, and how that the nurtured heart came in and how she implemented. So yeah, let's talk about that. Let's talk about fear, how that, maybe start with fear, you know, how that impacted your parenting, how that impacted your home, what that experience was inside of you, outside of you. And then we'll talk about, yeah, what fearlessness can do.
Yeah. Well, first I had to acknowledge that I had fear. And that fear was a real and active emotion in my life, and that I was actually parenting, and I would go so far as to say even working as a school psychologist, with this underlying fear notion. And it sneaks in very, you don't always recognize that it's fear that's really motivating you. But when things don't go right, when things don't go the way you want them to go, there's this fear that starts to sneak in. I remember saying, am I the right mom for these children? They are so complicated. Am I doing the right thing? And I'm so fearful I'm going to ruin all of their lives. And I'm so fearful of this. And I'm like, what if we're out in public? And then I'm fearful of what people will think. And I was jokingly, see, before we started, I used to tell my kids, okay, if people ask you what I do for a living, tell them I work at Walmart. Do not tell them I'm a school psychologist, because I knew how much of a hot mess I was. I was not parenting the way I wanted to. I didn't know how to get to that point, but I was so afraid I would be judged by others. And so out of that fear, then when anything went wrong, I instantly wanted to control everything and stop it so that nobody would have that outside impression. And we were ugly in the community. I'm just going to say, like, between fighting and yelling and hitting, and we just didn't want to go places because it wasn't very fun. And people stopped inviting us over to their houses, and people started not wanting to hang out with our family. And I get it. We were intense. And so it just piles on this fear. And so I decided to take a year and really work on, at the time I called it fearlessness, you know, really understanding that. If I were to reframe it now, it would be courage, that I would live courageously and that I would walk courageously in not being so swayed by what society looks at my family as, not being so swayed in that I'm somehow failing because things aren't perfect, and being in a place of more vulnerability. And that's what time has given me, that I can look back and go, yeah, vulnerability and being transparent is actually way more helpful than the control. And that's where I think, you know, the stand one of the nurtured heart approach, when we really look at what is it about me, and, you know, the mantras that I came up with, you know, that it matters how I show up. It really was like, it does matter how I show up. And if I make a mistake, it is okay. I can go back and I can apologize to my children. And that was something I didn't do a lot at first. And then I started to realize the power of being vulnerable with my children and saying, you know, I really, that was ugly. And I almost got to, I'll have to share this. I had this like, okay, next moment. New mom. You just shift into this like next frame and you're like, okay, that was ugly. There's nothing I can do to repair it. Like, and you go and you give yourself this grace and you give yourself this like forgiveness. And I think about, as I parent, because I'm still parenting today, my children all happen to be adults, but I'm still parenting. I'm modeling them self-forgiveness. I'm modeling for them courage. I'm modeling for them that self-reflection and self-regulation. I'm still modeling all that. And they look to me, you know, we've had some tough things that are coming down the pike for me. And my daughter reflected with me and she's like, you really handle things differently than other people, don't you? I said, oh, that's interesting. She goes, you just seem to have a calmness and a joy, regardless of the storm that you're walking in.
My work is done.
But I think, okay, this has been, you know, when you want to get to that culmination, she started when she was 4. She watched me in my journey. We were talking in church this weekend. This sermon was about some, you know, some anger that comes out. And my kids just kind of went, oh, we remember that. I mean, still remember how intense I would get. I would yell, I would scream, I would become unglued. And yet they also go, but that's not you anymore. Right? Because we can change. We can change. We don't have to be the same person. And that truly is that embracing that courage and letting go of that fear that, yeah, this moment, pretty ugly. Next moment, you know, there's always that next moment that arrives. And I think, you know, I've often listened to how we talk about that too. And it's like that next moment is where, you know, there's nothing you can do about the past. Like you can't erase it. You can't undo whatever you said. So you have to live in that present moment of going, okay, what am I going to do with what's in front of me? And what am I going to learn from it? What can I take away from it? And being okay with mistakes and blunders in parenting and ugly moments and forgiving yourself, because that's really where the harder part was for me. My kids were probably more forgiving of me. I ruminated and my self-dialogue is what got me in trouble. And that's where I had to really embrace that stand one of going, can't go there, can't go there. Can't, nope, just going to reset. Look at you, fighting to be that better person, fighting to let go of it, fighting to give yourself grace, fighting to forgive yourself. It takes time. It's not, you know, sometimes we say reset and we think like it's a moment and it's not. Sometimes it takes a very long time, but it's this process of going, okay, yeah, I'm going to make mistakes and some of them are going to be pretty ugly. And yet I can get through them and I can, the next moment always arrives. The sun always rises. The next day always comes. So.
Yeah. Something that comes up for me in what you're saying about kids, and then I'll get back to a follow-up question on what you're saying, is this idea of like, there's always a new moment, you know, like this was super ugly and now here we are, next moment. I've had so many times where there was a moment that in my fear and in my opinion could have been extremely hurtful, harmful, long-term effects for, you know, whoever's involved. And we just needed to reset, right? We did that. We took our reset. And then I'm still like, okay, like what are the repercussions going to be? You know, like it's not possible that such a big thing can happen and then we don't have to deal with it. Like, so I'm resetting, they're resetting, and then we come back and I'm ready for whatever. And the kids are like on to the next thing. They're all friends again. They're all ready to play. Like, so many times they are not looking to go back. So many times they are not looking for me. They're not waiting for me to apologize even. They're not waiting for me to tell them that I'm gonna reset. In the last episode, Sarah shared a story of her son knowing that she was reset without her saying anything. They pick up energy. You're fine. Great. That's what we wanted in the first place. We don't need you to tell us a sob story of how you're so sorry and you want to be a better mommy and you know, you wish you didn't do that. They're like, can we just go play? Can we just go have a nice time? Can we just connect? Like what we want is connection. So let's just do that. So it's just kids know how to forgive and move on so fast. And it's incredible to see that and to learn from that also, that we don't have to either hold on. Like we can just move into the next moment. And yes, the truth of the moment is that there might be hurt feelings, but then it's the truth of the new moment. And like you said, vulnerability and courage in that moment to say, you didn't deserve that. That wasn't okay. I should have reset faster. I'm so sorry. To be vulnerable, to be honest, in the moment, responding to the hurt that's there then, right, is the truth of that moment versus feeling like I have to carry all my sins. And until I fix each one of them, I don't have a right to be happy, to be joyful, to be connected, to just go with the flow because I haven't yet fixed all my sins.
And that it isn't about holding you know, things like if, you know, we used to be like, oh, if they could just feel the punishment, feel the pain, then they wouldn't do it again. And it really isn't that. If they know who they are and they begin to live that out, then they realize that it's just a moment. Like, I'm not a horrible mom, right? I had a horrible moment. Next moment, you know, yeah. And we let things define us that don't need to define us, instead of really putting them in the place that they need to be, which is just, it's a moment. There's a misstep. You can forgive yourself. You can move on. You can learn from it. You can do better. But it's just that. It's just a moment.
And I think the fear plays into that, because the fear says when the negative moment comes up, shoot, what if this is the real them? Or what if this is becoming the real them? Or shoot, what if this is the real me? What if this is becoming the real me? What if they are going to think, you know? Right. And so I'm making that misstep be the step, like be it. When that's the off, you know, that's where I'm not being myself. Myself is not that. And when they know that, and when I know that, then we can just go back. It's like, you got out of bounds, so just come back. Why are you going further out of bounds? Because you got out of bounds. Come back. That's all. That's a whole conversation on reset and all that. I think I'd like to recap and come back to that fear courage conversation. If you could help me put that together in like a concrete, like, you were full of fear. You were sharing how you were telling your kids to tell people that you work in Walmart because you didn't want to be kicked out of your school. Like, don't tell them I'm a school psychologist, because school psychologists shouldn't act like this. I mean, I'm a parent coach, for God's sake. And I walk around with my kids and I'm like, oh my God, why would anyone hire me? I literally had to walk at an event once because my kid slapped another kid, and I was so flooded that because I was so sure that all the parents there were staring at me and thinking about me and judging me, which like probably no one was even looking in my direction. But I told my husband, I was like, either we all leave or I leave by myself, but I must go right now. Like, I'm not okay. And I need to go. And there, I couldn't reset there.
Can I pause you? Yeah. That is a courage moment, because fear keeps you tied there and going, okay, I'm not going to walk out because, you know, then everybody will look at me even more. But courage says, what do I need in this moment so that I can be who I really, you know, what, how do I get back to my best version? That's a courage step. And taking those courage steps where you're like, you know what, I have to go now. I have to walk out. That to me is actually living out courage instead of staying in fear. Even though I know what was driving, you know, when you describe that, all lots of fear, lots of everything that goes on, but it does take, there's moments of courage. And that's where we, you know, if you can look at it from that molecule level, you can see that there's always, you know, there's always some goodness in some of the things. And then you can reflect on that versus sticking yourself completely in a fear mode. Like, I'm only acting on fear. No, it took courage for me to stand up and say, this doesn't feel comfortable for me. This is crossing my boundary personally. And if I stay here, I'm going to sit in uncomfortableness that I'm not willing to do to myself. You know, it's that courage step in there.
Yeah. The first step is to notice and acknowledge that I'm in fear. And then I notice that I'm in fear. How do I walk myself into, I know I want courage. How do I walk myself into courage? And yeah.
Well, I think I'll go back. Caleb always gave me my greatest examples. He was my most intense child. I love that boy dearly. He and I had a go at it, and it was around driving. And he had made some mistakes with his driving. And actually, I don't even remember exactly what he did, but he did something that crossed the line of what we said, whether it was he stayed out too late or he got in multiple accidents too. So there was that, but there was lying that was in all that. And one particular night, because I can still see it in my mind's eye, I was so angry. And I'm like, I'm taking the keys and we're going to keep them forever and you're never going to drive again. And I'm like, you know, there's all that fear coming up. Like, you can't handle it. So I'm going to handle it for you because I'll be the parent and you can't be this responsible. So I'll take over and I'll, you know, right? Which is where we go. So I took the keys. And then, you know, Mark and I were together on this and I just went, oh gosh, I think I've made the mistake. because I had said, I'm going to take it away for, I don't know, it was like a month. It was a ridiculous amount. You know, we say things in fear because they're just that, like, you're never going to get your bike again. Okay, whatever. And I sat there and I went, if I keep these keys from him, every time he leaves my house, our house, it will remind him that he made a misstep. And I'm like, he can't live in that. I know him. I know his heart. And it's going to sink on him that he's failed once again. And I'm like, that's not it. It's just a misstep. And I had to step into this place of trust that could I trust him, even though it was against that fear? Because I really was like, what if he does it again? I don't know. That's me saying I'm assuming he's going to do it again. That's not trust. So I ended up walking down with the keys, and we had this like sweet moment where I gave him the keys back and I'm like, I can't hang on to this key. And he's like, what? I said, I believe you've learned your lesson, and it doesn't make sense for me to hang on to it and keep reminding you of that when the next moment is here. And he's like, how can you do that? I said, sometimes we give forgiveness and grace when it's undeserved. And he's like, I don't deserve these back. And I'm like, no, yeah, you do. It's just a misstep. And he took them back. And it was like just a, like this sweet moment where we go, sometimes we don't get what we deserve. And we don't live out of fear, and we don't cultivate that for our children. And he got it. He got it. Now, that doesn't mean that he didn't have other problems with the car. I'm not saying that it wasn't perfect, but each moment I handled in that moment, and I trusted myself, not in a fear of like, what's going to happen next. It was when that moment came up, I would handle it as it came up. But I was far more concerned about my relationship with Caleb and the message I was sending him as his mother, and about who he was and what defined him, than I was about what the future would hold. Courage,
fearless. Yeah. Yes, courage more, fearless, and walking into that trust, and not because it makes sense, and not because I'm not living in the future, because I'm not living in the outcome. I'm living in right here in this moment and making this a new moment. And that is just.
And you can still have clarity. You can have clarity. We did a lot of clarity. We're like, yeah, this is the boundary we need to now set. That's okay. That's a stand three. Like, yeah. Get your expectations out there, get your boundaries out there. That will keep your whole family running safe. But be very mindful when we get so tied into the consequence of punishing, like, you're going to feel this, we're going to, you know, and that somehow will transform me, that we're actually on that wrong end. Because especially for an intense child like Caleb, who had so many messages of who he was not, he didn't need any more messages of who he was not. He needed way more messages of who he was, and that we believed in him, and that we believed that he could make good choices, and that the mistakes were not going to define him for the rest of his life. And I think, you know, we talked about this earlier, I still have relationship with all of my children. There's a lot of adoptive parents that have gone through this, and their adopted kids walked out when they were 18. I am grateful that the culture we created as a family is, you're always welcome here. You're always here. If you make a mistake, it's just the moment, we'll go on to the next one. And my kids have made a lot of mistakes. That's a whole nother episode, but in all of that, they still call me. They still come. We just had Sunday dinner together. All of us were together. Like, that's the sweet part of it, is that I cannot speak into my children's life if they are not present in my life. That's what I'm after.
Wow. Sarah, you are amazing. Your story is amazing. Your just your grace, your presence, your vulnerability, your honesty, transparency. It's just so inspiring and beautiful and relatable. And I'm so grateful for you, for this time that my audience gets to hear you. Audience, look at the show notes to see how you can get in touch with Sarah Howe. She's an author. There's other recordings out there of her. And until next time, I hope there's a next time.
Absolutely. It was
lovely. Thank you so much for being here. Yes.